Yeah, George's class is holding out till Gloria gets back from her trip, and then they're going to have her do her memory verses. I'm sure George will assign them. Okay. Well, it's Palm Sunday. Everybody's aware of that. It's been mentioned a couple of times already. One of the unique things about Palm Sunday is that it is a story that is in all four of the Gospels. Not everything, not every Bible story or every story about Jesus in the New Testament is in all four of the Gospels. Some of the Gospels focus on different sections, different things. But we do find that the triumphal entry is part of all four of the Gospels. Now, the point of the triumphal entry was they were receiving Jesus as their king. They're saying, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. They were talking, when they're saying this, they're saying, we receive you as our king. You are the king. Well, we're going to look at the last 5 points of the 8 points of the cross that I touched on briefly last week. We dealt with the first three. These last five deal with the particular aspect of Jesus being our Lord. If He is the Lord, if He is our Lord, how does that affect us? What do those sharp points on the cross affect us? How do they make us uncomfortable in a way that makes us better? So let's just take a moment, bow our heads, and seek the Lord's leading as we move forward this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we give You praise. Lord, we thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to live, to preach Your gospel message, to die, to take all our sins upon Him through that death, and give us the vehicle of forgiveness and renewal of relationship with You. Lord, we thank You that You raised Him from the dead, the first fruits of all of us being raised to be with You for all of eternity. So, Lord, we come before You right now. And as we throw around that term, Lord, help us to have a sharper understanding of just what that means. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, quickly, the 8 points. Whereas the first was sin, the second was repentance, the third confession. We dealt with those three last week. This week we're going to look at the last five of the eight. The fourth is denial. The fifth point of the cross is discipline. The sixth is holiness. The seventh is stewardship. And the eighth is humility. Now these five all have something in common in the fact that they deal with our relationship towards Christ as our Lord. Okay? We have a difficult concept, or a difficult time dealing with the concept of Lord, because we do not have a government that models that. The president is not our Lord. He is our commander-in-chief. He is highly respected by some. but not necessarily by all. But he is indeed in authority. But yet, he is still no better than you or I. We do not somehow accord him to be a better person by the fact that he is indeed the president. In fact, it's just a temporary position for him. Somebody else will be president in a few years. The most he can be president is 2 terms. And there's no guarantee he'll get a 2nd term. So, who's to say that he's better? He's not. But it used to be understood that the people who were leaders were, by their nature of being leaders, by being a king, they were said to be better. In fact, they sought sometimes to be treated as gods. And the people treated them as such. It would give them worship. Now that's not a right attitude towards another person, just somebody else, because they really aren't better. But the idea was that the Lord was above all and everybody else was underneath. He was inherently above. And that all that were below owed him all that they were, all that they had. We don't understand that. Even if we can get our minds around it intellectually, we still don't get our hands around it emotionally. It's really not something, an idea that we're comfortable with. On one hand, I'm glad of that. That we don't live in a country that was like that. Saddam held himself up as someone who was better, which is why he had a picture of him in absolutely every room, everywhere, and every market, at the entrance to every city. These points deal with us understanding that Jesus is not just our Savior. The first 3 dealt with that Savior aspect. These last 5 deal with the Lordship aspect. I spent so much of my young life recognizing that Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah! But forgetting the fact that Jesus is also my Lord. And then the responsibilities that that places upon me. Because if He is my Lord, He has obligations to me, but immediately and inherent in the fact that He has obligations to me because He's my Lord, I have obligations to Him because He's my Lord. There are ways I need to react to Him, things that I need to place before Him. And these 5 points help us to have that right attitude of lordship of Christ. See, I truly wasn't living for Christ until I made Christ my Lord. I didn't do that honestly and truly until 1990. I don't remember a time in my life when Jesus wasn't my Savior. But I didn't consciously come to the point and say, you know, I'm going to live for you, Christ. I'm going to live for Jesus. It's a total mind shift, paradigm shift. These points help us to keep that lordship of Christ. The first one of self-denial. Our entire society doesn't teach self-denial. If you look at TV, and what does it tell you? You deserve a break today. You know, you deserve all this. It's your right. It isn't. We haven't been taught self-denial. I get upset if I have to wait more than 30 seconds when I'm in line at McDonald's. Anybody else get the same way? Where's my food? I gave you my money about 20 seconds ago. Self-denial, I can't even wait at a McDonald's. Yet, I'm supposed to be putting the self down. Matthew 16:24. If any man or woman will come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That means I have to deny myself selfish desires and not just do what I want to do, but follow Jesus. That takes self-denial. It also takes discipline, which is the fifth core. How can we be true disciples without discipline? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Discipline. Study. It's not enough that I just follow God. I need to study God. It's not enough that I just look at my Lord and say, there He is. I need to study Him and know what it is that He wants me to do. Get to know Him as well as I possibly can, so that I can anticipate. So that I can better follow, better understand His direction. See, if I study what He's doing and I see where He's going and leading, He doesn't necessarily have to tell me as much to have me do the same thing. For example, when I was a young lad, my dad did many a remodeling project at the house. I learned a lot about it. And I studied what we were doing. And I saw that when he did this, he would need that. My job was gopher. You know, go for this, go for that. Well, there came a point where he didn't necessarily have to say, you know, when we started out, he's saying, go get the crescent wrench. What's a crescent wrench? Well, it's the adjustable one. Adjustable, yeah, it's got like a little rolling thing in it. It's in the drawer over here in the third cabinet to the left. And I would go and I'd look and I'd come back and say, no, that's not it. Later, he would say, go get it, and I knew all the tools. I could go do that. Then later as we went, as I got better at it, I would see what he was doing, I would know what he would need, and I would prepare it to hand to him, to have it ready to give to him before he even asked for it. That came from study. That same relationship we can have with the Lord by studying Him. The sixth is holiness. Psalm 19:14 proclaims, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. To be holy is to literally be set apart for God. That means that the words that I say, even the thoughts that I have, ought to be acceptable and pleasing to God. Because I have been given to be completely for God. I've been set for His work. So have you. You're holy. You are holy. Consider that fact. God has set His holy seal of His Holy Spirit upon you and marked you as His and said, you are mine for all of eternity. When you receive Christ in your heart, that's what He does. And the very words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts need to be acceptable to God. Because we're His. Just as a surgeon would not find a dirty tool acceptable for use, neither are we acceptable for God's use when our words and our thoughts are full of filth. If they're not full of filth, they are indeed acceptable to God. Seventh corner, stewardship. Jesus preached about a man and his money more than any other topic. Why? Because it's near and dear to our hearts, not because it's near and dear to God's heart. Because it's a difficult thing for us, not because it's a difficult thing for God. God has the resources of all of the universe. He does not need ours. We need to have a relationship with Him where we understand that He is indeed the source and that what we have isn't ours but is His. And He's just loaning it to us for the purpose of bettering us. You see, instead of seeking after stuff, true stewardship is seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's Matthew chapter 6. Okay, our eighth corner, humility. For God resists the proud and gives peace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. That's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5b through 6. Now, humility is one of the difficult points, and it's one that I've dealt with on numerous occasions. I'm not always a humble soul. In fact, sometimes I'm quite arrogant. Full of myself, even. I've been told that by people. No, I'm not. Yeah, sometimes I am. Doesn't make it right. But I need to recognize, and we each need to recognize, that I have no cause, and none of us have any cause to be proud and arrogant. Because every good thing I have came from Him is a gift. I should be arrogant about a gift? No, I need to be grateful and thankful, humble. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That means that He will indeed help those of us who are being too full of ourselves to find out the fact that we aren't so wonderful after all. I've had to pick myself up from the floor a few times, or more, put it more appropriately, God has lifted me up and said, you know, why do you do this to yourself? And I said, I don't know. Instead, He just pulls me in and He forgives me for that pride when I've repented. And He comforts me. And He helps me to see that I have nothing to be proud of except Him. Our humility. You see, I'm not better than God. I'm not even close to God. And if that's the benchmark for what you need to do to have pride, then I guess I need to be just a way bit, keep myself down. He is indeed my Lord. and I seek to live for Him, and I pray that You would live for Him too. Now these points to the cross, they were intended to cause Jesus pain. The cross was intended as a painful sacrifice so that our sins could be redeemed. We might be able to sit in padded chairs, nice comfy chairs, as a matter of fact, much more comfortable than our old pews were. But it's not okay for us to sit on a padded cross where we take away those sharp points. We need to keep those there to remind us where we need to be. We need to recognize that we're sinners. We need to repent. We need to confess and believe that Jesus is indeed Savior and Lord. We need to deny ourselves, follow Christ. We need to discipline ourselves to study our Lord. We need to recognize that we're holy and His. We need to be stewards, recognizing that what He has given us is His to use for His glory. And that all that, we need to have an attitude, recognizing that He is God and we are not. Those are sharp points. But in their very sharpness, they bring us comfort. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! He is indeed our King. He has come here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You indeed that You are willing to suffer for our behalf. And now, Lord, as we seek to follow You, Lord, might the very points of the cross remind us of how to do that. Now, Lord, might we indeed live for You as our Lord, as we proclaim that You are indeed our Savior. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and close with All I Need Is You.